Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
For me, every time these guys do media, it's a reminder that Major Applewhite and the University of Houston are employing a guy who basically oversaw a program that had at least 52 rapes of women on campus. But hey, that offense will look a lot better than it did last year. That's what really matters.
That's what's important.
Yeah, not the safety of students on campus. That's irrelevant, Fred.
When you're bringing in a guy who was tied to that, there's a lot more to that. You have to think about your female students on campus, don't you?
A new E60 and Outside the Lines special investigation of the Michigan State Athletic Department reveals shocking details of a culture of sexual assault inside the men's basketball and football programs. I'm not familiar with the story yet, so I hate to comment on it, but if that's true, burn it down. Izzo might be one of the five best coaches in college basketball. Doesn't matter. He'd have to go. D'Antonio's a pretty good coach, too.
Yeah.
It wouldn't matter.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Jon Snow with a zero, not an O. At Degenerates 975. And, of course, you can text the show. You know the number for that. Same as the call-in number. Miss the first 2 hours. It wasn't all about rape at campus, okay? I know that's a rewind, but we had a lot of fun with R.J. Bell talking gambling last segment, and we've been all over the place. So out here at Sam Houston Race Park, where the 50-cent beer is officially flowing, and here to talk a little bit about what's going on out at the park right now is the track announcer for at least the next couple weeks,
right?
Jim Byers. Jim, appreciate you spending some time with us.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm here for the first 10 race days. Normally I work at Lone Star Park up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And
we've got you on loan.
Somewhat.
Is our track announcer injured?
Well, he, not injured, but he
maternity
is otherwise
leave?
Occupied. But
okay.
Tom Harris will be here for a few weeks coming up in early February, so I'm happy to fill in. And this is really an interesting weekend to be here. Some great racing coming up, four stakes tomorrow, and then a noon start on Sunday with six stakes races to wrap up the card, including the two big ones, the Connolly on the turf and the Houston Ladies Classic, and some really, really nice horses racing here this weekend.
Yeah, I was talking to Mike Steinler a little earlier, and he thinks this is the best card that they've had here. And I certainly, since the track opened in 94, there were some really big cards before they realized they couldn't pay that kind of money. But fantastic card Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, Sunday you have a couple of races, horses coming right out of the Breeders' Cup, essentially, including Bigger Picture, who won the John B. Connolly Turf Cup last year and then participated in the Breeders' Cup Turf, which is one of the greatest races in the world. So, yeah, it's amazing. I handicapped the races for Sunday today, and just looking at the races these horses are coming out of, there's Grade 1 winners. There's horses that have run in the graded stakes, which are the best that the sport has to offer. And even the not just the two graded races that we're going to have here, but some of the other races for the smaller purses, but they're still nice stakes races, have come up very well, too.
Now you kind of an interesting story because you left racing for a while to do baseball. You did hockey. What's harder to call, a hockey game or a race?
Well, a race is skill-wise a little tougher. It takes it's a longer learning curve. It's a specialty act. You know, you're learning those horses in the minutes leading up to the race. You're looking through binoculars, which your binocular use in the other sports is somewhat limited. Maybe it stoppages a play, but racing is the toughest from a fundamental standpoint. Day in, day out, I really think baseball is the toughest to call because you have all that dead time, and it is such an announcer sport. There's so much pressure, and I was fortunate to do 11 years of AAA baseball after my first long stint in horse racing, and then that kind of led into some years in hockey, which I really love. I played hockey as a kid, as an amateur, and so that was a lot of fun, but there's nothing quite like the excitement of a horse race for having to execute the call and be on top of it. And your visibility can sometimes be limited. And you're looking at jockey silks from a long way away. So getting from the beginning to where you're competent in this sport is the toughest.
Yeah, I've done a few races out here occasionally. There's a dead spot on that turf course at night on the back end. What's it like calling races here versus Lone Star?
You know, the main difference here is the low vantage point. The booth here is the lowest I've worked at, and I've probably worked at 8 or 10 booths over the course of my career. Lone Star, you're a good at least 7 stories up. You get off the elevator at least at floor number 7. Here, you're very low. But I have some new binoculars now. I broke in some new binoculars that a lot of the guys around the country that call races are using. They're much more powerful than the standard that we used to use, and that allows me to see horses. This low angle means horses stacked up on the outside can get lost, and that really doesn't happen with the better binoculars. So I love the view of the finish here. I like the view of the stretch drive here, too. There's something about being low. It seems like you can pick horses up a little better. Sometimes the run down the backstretch here is interesting because of the low angle. Lone Star is a great angle. It's a great vantage point. The booth in relation to the finish line is trickier there than here. So every place kind of has its positives and negatives. But and the lights do add a little complication just because you don't see the colors as well at night.
You ever tempted to use the monitor, like to make the call off the monitor?
You know, occasionally at Lone Star I'll peek at the monitor for a finish of a race. There have been times over my career where before I used these strong binoculars that I would peek at the monitor at the far turn. If there's a horse I know is out there and I just can't make out the silks and I can't see the number, I try not to because it's tempting. But then when you go back to the field with your long view, reorienting is really difficult. So, yeah, but it is sometimes tempting because that camera, the tight shot especially, can get in a lot closer than even I can with my new weaponized binoculars that I'm using.
Your hockey time with the Barons, wasn't that when the lockout was on and
yes.
Taylor Hall and all those guys were down? Because they came down and played the
exactly.
Arrows, and it was Hall and Nugent Hopkins and Eberle, and Taylor Hall had just this great end-to-end goal in that game. But was that something that you were thinking, hey, maybe the NHL, or were you just kind of happy with that? What was the move there?
You know, the ownership that owned the AAA baseball team in Oklahoma City sold the ball club and bought the hockey, or started the AHL franchise in Oklahoma City in 2010. So I went along with them. I really didn't have much choice. The baseball situation was probably going to come to an end. And, I thought 11 years of baseball was pretty much enough. I mean, I love the sport, but it is a real grind. And I got into it a little late to make the big leagues, and a lot of baseball teams don't really promote from the minor leagues to their radio jobs. It can happen. But it doesn't happen as much as hockey. I held out a minor hope of getting an NHL job, but it was more just to do it. I was in town. It was a phenomenal level of play. I had called hockey at lower levels professionally, but not at the AHL level. And like you say, that third year of the 5 that the Barons operated, which happened to be the last year, unfortunately, that the Arrows were here, was the lockout year. And the hockey was remarkable. You know, the Arrows had almost as good a team. Well, they had a better team record-wise during the lockout than Oklahoma City. They just didn't have the stars that we knew of at that time. You know, they didn't have the incumbent NHL players. The Jonas Brodins, the Mikael Granlunds, guys like that were up and coming down here. But those were unbelievable games. Really, I love the games with Houston. I love being down here. The downtown area was so nice to stay in, and we traveled really well in the AHL. It's just between the fan interest not being there and NHL teams wanting to move their affiliates closer to their base, we lost our team.
Yeah, Oklahoma City's not that close to Edmonton, so.
No, of course, you know, they and Calgary moved west, and it really didn't help. Because they're in Bakersfield now, and it's arguable that it's just as hard for players to get from Bakersfield to Edmonton as it is Oklahoma City. But for the California teams, it was a much more logical move geographically. They had to have those Western Canadian teams, at least 2 of the 3, go with them. Now Arizona's got their affiliate out there. So that was a force that we couldn't fight, plus our business wasn't what we wanted it to be. And the Thunder controlled the arena across the street that we played at, and they didn't really want us there either, I don't think. We could have continued to play there if we wanted to pay an exorbitant fee. But so it didn't
work
out.
Kind of what happened here, too.
Exactly. I mean, if you don't have the arena, you really don't have a franchise.
Do you get to many Stars games while you're up there?
You know, as a matter of fact, I do. I'm still based permanently in Oklahoma City, but we have a place in Dallas because I do work there several months a year. And it's a train ride away from the AAC, so I'm able to stay in touch with the sport and follow them. Plus, we see them on television in Oklahoma City. So I wish they had hockey here.
Yeah, me too.
I took in my first Rockets game this week. And so I saw the building in basketball configuration, which I'd only seen it for hockey. And wonderful building for the National Hockey League, so hopefully that'll happen someday.
If I were a betting man, and I am, it'll happen within the next 2 years. There will be a relocation here.
I think it's quite
possible.
You can
bet your friends that, and you'll be happy.
That'll be awesome. It'll be a nice natural setup with Dallas. It'll be another really good road trip. And unlike some of the NHL markets that have, or NHL expansions or relocations that have gone into Sun Belt markets with modest to little success, South Florida, Carolina, et cetera, this one is such a big market. And there, I think there's enough established hockey history here going all the way back to the World Hockey Association that it would definitely work here.
So is Lone Star pretty much your main job now? You just do that and then fill in here and there?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of wish I could work more, but at my age, I'm glad to be working at all. You know, I mean, I had a great run for 33 years of pretty much year-round employment, you know, with some seasonal breaks mixed in. The last couple of years, I'm very fortunate to be back in this sport where I started, but it's about 60, 70 dates a year instead of the old days when I was working 9, 10 months a year in horse racing, but racing just isn't, we don't run as many dates as we used to. So, yeah, it's Lone Star from April to July and then again in the fall and then fill in as needed. And fortunate to be down here and get to see some of the action here, especially this weekend.
Well, that's a long time of what is a very nomadic lifestyle with rate, because you're going on a circuit, so you're track to track. And then, obviously, if you're doing baseball and hockey, you're traveling an awful lot. So it's got to be a little nice not to have to do all that.
No doubt. You know, I got into baseball in my late 30s. I called it all through my 40s. I did hockey in my early 50s. Loved every minute of it, but I don't mind being off the road, especially the long overnight bus rides that we used to have to take in hockey down here in Texas. But I miss a lot of aspects of the play-by-play, but it is nice to have a place to base. And this is how I started, and there's a tremendous thrill to be able to be at the track when I can, too.
Well, I enjoy your work at Lone Star, and we're glad to have you here even if it's a short time. Happy to have you down here, and appreciate you spending a little time with us.
Well, thanks so much. Really enjoy it, and I've been enjoying listening to you this week. I've had the chance to stay here this week, so I've been caught on the road a lot in drive time.
You've been listening to this show?
Not been a lot of fun, but I have. Heard you guys talking about when to decide to just, you know, go for it and shave your heads.
Honestly thinking about it. I'm
take a look, Fred. Well, take your head off. Yeah. Show him your hair. See what you think. Do you think Fred's got enough to hold on to,
or would
you
just still hold on a little longer?
Okay. But I've been thinking about it just because.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that guy.
Just let it hold on to what I've got.
I think you're at the point of. I think you made the right decision to go ahead and okay. Let it go.
I don't look like a maniac bald, right?
No, not okay. At all. Thanks. Thanks for having me, though. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on.
It's been fun.
Yeah, well, sure appreciate you taking the time. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, if you're not at Sam Houston Race Park tonight, you know where you need to be. Lions Poker Palace.
Yes.
You can win $7,500 tonight if you win first place. This is their big one of the week. $170 buy-in with a $30 seat fee and unlimited rebuys for the first four levels. So, basically, it starts at 6:30. If you don't get there right on time, you get there at 7:45. You can still play. That's what I usually do because I'm on air until 7. So go on by there. You can play that, and you're going to get a point towards going to the World Series of Poker. And if you make the final table, you pick up 3 more points. And this is such a great thing. We're through June 10th now, Sunday. As long as you play, you're going to accumulate points. The top 30 are going to get to play a free roll. The top 10 are going to get sent to the World Series of Poker's main event on a private jet.
How awesome is that? They're going to pay for your entry to the World Series. I mean, this is an unbelievable deal. They've got complimentary valet and self-parking. They've got security all over the place. Tournament 7 days a week. Full late-night kitchen. BYOB. Tons of tables and televisions. It is just the place to play. Follow them on Facebook at Lions Poker Palace for all the tournaments and events information. Or you could just stop by and see it for yourself. 6134 Richmond Avenue. You mentioned that you heard about them here on ESPN. You'll get your first 2 hours for free. That's Lions Poker Palace.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
This
is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sportsmap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. I want to thank Jim for coming on. It's nice having a professional. You know, he sounds like he knows what he's doing. So,
you saying I don't?
No. I mean, just usually, a lot of times we have guests that are just, you know, they haven't ever been on air before. It's a new thing for them.
It's funny. I thought it was commonplace for, especially like a horse racing announcer or something, to use the monitor, because I saw, like, your brother at the Greyhound track, he calls the race from wherever he's at in the building.
Yeah, because he doesn't actually have an announcer's booth anymore. He used to have one up on top.
Okay.
So basically, he has to call it from there.
What is it, and what happened to his booth?
They basically shut down a lot of that. Some of it got damaged in Ike.
Okay.
So like, he used to be on the fourth floor, way at the top.
Okay.
And when
when I saw him this last time we were there, he was just looking at the monitor, making the call off the monitor.
Yeah, and a lot of people do that. So okay. It's just it's harder in horse racing, especially on a track that races at night, because I've called races here, and there's a spot like right on the far turn on the turf course where it's between the lights, and there's about 10 seconds there where you can't see a damn thing. And it's really you could pick it up on TV better than you can there, and that's probably what he was talking about, peeking at the monitor.
Yeah.
But, that's the hardest thing I've ever done is call a race, because you have to memorize. Like, I would actually color in the silks on the program.
Because you have to know what color goes to what number.
And name. And then you're supposed to call the name, not the number. On the Greyhounds, you can call a number, which also makes it easier to do off of a monitor. But I would color in the silks, memorize the name, and then you handicap the race because you kind of know who's going to be out front early. But with quarter horses, yeah, no clue. I mean, it's you basically can call three horses is all you can do, and then it's over.
Right.
But and I had an opportunity to pursue that as a career, and it just wasn't something that I wanted to do because – as much as I loved the gamble, I didn't really want to be sitting in a box calling nine races a night and having to memorize all that stuff. And it's just not for me. I think things worked out for me the way they were supposed to. All right, we need to do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Well, I have some bad news for those of us who fly a lot. Apparently,
don't do it.
It's not my call. A lot of airlines on their Boeing 737 MAX jets are going to make the restroom smaller.
What?
To put more seats in.
What?
Yeah, it says the lavatories at the back of the plane are located between the passenger seats and the galley where the flight attendants prepare drinks and snacks. When both doors to the lavatories are open, the flight attendants are sealed off in the galley, blocking them from getting to the passengers.
Uh-huh.
So flight attendants complain. They also said the sinks in the bathrooms are so tiny that the water from the faucet splashes onto anyone attempting to wash their hands.
Right.
Well,
so they're going to make it smaller?
So they're going to create what they call a micro toilet. This is American Airlines is the first one to do it, but everybody else is too. I have to say,
what's a micro toilet?
It's going to be smaller so that the doors don't open, so that they don't open all the way out, so that the flight attendants can get by and they can put in more seats.
Oh no! This can't end well. Like
the bathrooms are so small, the sink only lets you wash one hand at a time.
I'm not going to fit in this bathroom, Fred.
No, me either.
Because I barely fit into a regular bathroom, like a regular airline bathroom now.
Now, and 737s are, I'm that way with those. But, like, I'll fly those ERJs sometimes, those smaller planes, and you almost have to sit down to pee.
Yeah.
Because you're, like, you're completely bent over the whole time. And, yeah, I get that I'm taller than most people, but still, that is not good news, man.
No, I'm against this. I'm against this policy.
Mm. But
great, another reason to hate flying.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? Just try to avoid going to the bathroom on the flights. It's going to be, I mean, I try to do that anyway. But, you know, sometimes if you're drinking, you can't avoid it.
Yeah.
And I like to drink on a plane. Regardless, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right. Got that out of the way. Pretty good crowd in here now.
It's livening up, Fred.
Yeah.
It's getting closer to post time.
That's right. Post time is in 36 minutes for the first race. So you can get out and get your action down. And guess what? Post time for 50-cent beer already started.
Don't tell me the horse, but tell me the race where you have your favorite play of the day.
I would say that, well, I'd have to go back and look because I've already done Saturday and Sunday too.
Oh, okay.
So on break, I will look.
Okay. And then I want you to tell me the race, and then you can send people to SportsMap to find out the horse.
It's a good plan.
I'm going to drive traffic for you.
There you go. There you go. You've been a most useful mammal when it comes to SportsMap, I have to say. You've had some pretty good ideas.
I'm no Patrick Creighton, but I do all right.
Well, I think you're beating him this week.
Oh, good.
Yeah, Patrick Creighton, for some reason, like his first couple columns just were through the roof in terms
of
what's he
writing about?
Well, he wrote about Garrett Cole and how the Astros got a steal, and then he wrote another one on the O'Brien extension the day it happened. And those two, and he wrote one other Astros column that did real well. And most Astros stuff, I mean, it did well during the series, but in general, it's like Astros and Rockets don't really drive the needle. Texans do, and topics like yours, like ranking the AFC South quarterback, stuff
yeah.
like that, that tends to do well. You know, Granato likes to get on topics. Yeah, he had a fun one earlier this week where he wrote a letter to his 18-year-old self making fun of the LeBron thing that was pretty good. But stuff like that does real well in general. But, yeah, I mean, that's Patrick's done some good stuff. And, hey, there's a lot of really good writers that I didn't know that the people could write. So I will tell you my favorite play of the night is – probably the eighth race.
Yeah. All right.
And those picks are on
SportsMap.
SportsMap.com. Plus bonus play on Saturday's Pegasus World Cup. Where basically I gave you a $38 bet.
That's nice.
And for $38, if I'm right,
you'll win $1 million.
Yeah, you'll win a couple hundred.
Oh, okay. Well, that's pretty good too.
Yeah. If I'm right about my horse. But all that's available on SportsMap, so you're just gonna have to go there and get it. I tweeted it out earlier today as well. Got anything you want to get to here?
Yeah, I've got some non-sports stuff. Are we about to go to break, or we have a...
We got a minute, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I've got a couple stories on the other side. Some dumb criminal stories, which are always... they're always fun.
I love dumb criminals.
Including, you know the Bud Light commercial where the guy escapes the pit of misery?
Yeah.
And then comes back with beer?
Yeah.
That happened in real life.
Really? So that's like a rip from the headlines thing.
Dilly dilly. So we'll do that story on the other side of the break.
And speaking of dilly dilly, they've got Bud Light over here.
50 cents. Dilly dilly.
And they've also got Hoppadillo over there.
Hoppadilly dillo.
Yeah, I think we
dillo
should.
Dillo
dillo. Dillo dillo. That's what they should do.
Okay.
They should start doing that. All right. Lamont says, do any of the big name horses we see in the big races in May ever come through Sam Houston? We don't get a lot of the three-year-olds that go in the Triple Crowns here, but we did get last year's filly and mare champion, ran in the Sam Houston Ladies Classic, ran in the Breeders' Cup. You've got a bunch of horses that were just in the Breeders' Cup that Jim was talking about, which is a year-end championship. So there's a lot, not a lot, but there's certainly some of those here, and there'll be some Sunday. Sunday you're going to see horses that will go on and win big races all over the country the rest of the year. All right, quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
This
is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
We're back on The Blitz. We just had the national anthem, so we were recovering from that.
Yeah.
Not the strongest effort.
No. It was, to me, that version of the anthem was more disrespectful than Colin Kaepernick taking a knee. If you guys are going to be, maybe people should boycott this race tonight, Fred.
No.
Don't do that. You're not doing that? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's over.
I mean, I didn't boycott the NFL, so what am I talking about?
Let's not do that. Let's come out and play. Okay. You get 50 cent beer tonight.
I actually joined the Army, so people like that trumpet player are free to play the trumpet in public, even though it's a horrible idea, but he's free to do it.
It's America.
That's what I signed up for.
I may have to volunteer to do the anthem out here one night to prove that I can do better than that.
On your guitar? Your git fiddle?
I'll either do it on the guitar or I'll sing it. I've done both.
I want to hear you play it on the git fiddle like Hendrix
I'd rather do O Canada because that's easier to sing.
Oh, okay.
But unfortunately, there's no Canadians here, so.
Bring your wife.
Lamont asks, move over, Bevo. I'm coming with some serious dumb. Exactly who is the athlete, the horse or the jockey in horse racing? I would say both. Because the horses are trained, and they don't look like it, but those jockeys have to be, for their size, have to be really good athletes. You have to make split-second decisions. You've got to be strong enough to control a 1,000-pound animal, and you've got to do it when you've probably been throwing up for 2 hours before the race to get down to weight. All right, so you had some dilly-dilly stuff.
I do. Okay, so we talked about this on the other side of the break. The commercial where they're in the pit of misery, then the guy comes back and he's got Bud Light, and you know they're like you. The guy says you escaped the pit of misery and you came back. He's like, yeah, with beer.
Yeah, which okay, I kind of appreciate that.
Well, guess what? That guess where that took off? That idea took off. Beaumont.
Really?
Yep.
Golden Triangle.
An escaped inmate in Texas is back behind bars. After authorities caught him running back to the prison with a duffel bag filled with alcohol, home-cooked food, and tobacco. Jefferson County Sheriff's Officers and U.S. Marshals were tipped off that inmates were escaping the federal prison in Beaumont, crossing onto a rancher's land that backs up to the federal complex. The inmates would then pick up contraband that was dropped off for them and bring it back to the prison. After authorities set up surveillance on Wednesday, they spotted a truck pulling onto a private property and dropping off a large bag. Shortly after, Joshua Hansen, an inmate serving time for narcotics charges, was seen running from the prison grounds, grabbing the bag and making his way back when police arrested him. Inside the duffel bag, police found 3 bottles of brandy, 1 bottle of whiskey, multiple bags of Bugler tobacco, prepackaged snacks, and a large amount of home-cooked food, including barbecue sausage and fried chicken. Hansen is charged with escape and possession of marijuana, according to the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office. He's currently on federal hold. Dilly dilly.
So
he escaped the pit of misery only to come back with snacks and beer. Well, and whiskey.
He's a good guy. I like him. That's crazy. So do you get the impression that the Dilly Dilly King would last about 5 minutes in Game of Thrones?
I don't know. If he had that wizard and he could turn, like,
yeah, but
what if he turned the dragon into Bud Light midair and there's just Bud Light falling out of the sky?
But
Dilly Dilly.
He's too dumb to do that.
Yeah, I don't know. He likes to turn things into Bud Light.
He's like, well, yeah, but somehow they ran out of Bud Light.
I know. And there's like rocks and stuff around there. I feel like they could just turn that into Bud Light.
Yeah, unless he chased off the wizard because he wouldn't let the wizard do any cool stuff, in which case, bad king.
Or their horses. I mean.
Yeah, or horse.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had one horse.
Yeah, but they got like some donkeys and stuff.
Yeah. He strikes me as the millennial king.
Yeah, he's not great.
Yeah.
He's not a great leader of men. But apparently neither is this guy. Although, you know what? I give him credit, man. That's Josh Hansen, if you're listening. I know we've got a lot of listeners in the prison over there at Beaumont. I appreciate your effort. I applaud the effort. I'm guessing he was bringing back that love for everybody.
Well, yeah. That's a.
But How about you learn to make brandy in your prison toilet like everyone else? I mean, come on. Quit cheating.
Or just buy it from the guards like most of them do, right?
How about you learn to make barbecue sausage in your toilet like everyone else in prison?
Well, how long did he get away with it?
I don't know. It's been going on for a while, apparently.
Well, so he was doing something right.
I want to know who snitched.
Yeah.
Somebody who didn't get any of the barbecue chicken or fried chicken.
It was probably the guy who killed Caretaker.
Probably.
That guy was untrustworthy.
And then I got another story where Corey Sprague is from Memphis, and his car got stolen.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, he said he was inside buying a pack of cigarettes when someone pulled up, got out of their vehicle, and took off with his.
Did he leave the keys in it?
I think so.
Okay, not a good move.
There were two guys in the front seat, and he was in the back seat. He hopped out and got in my car.
Which seat should he take?
Their car pulled off one way. My car pulled off the other. I was in there and out. It was gone quicker than I could even blink. Police eventually found the car abandoned, and it got taken to an impound lot. Well, Sprague was surprised, and he says he started punching the car seat and laughing because the car thief left his pay stub in the driver's seat.
Oh, jeez. That'll make it easy to track him down.
Yeah. Police have the stub. No arrests have been made yet. But he says, I think he should do time. I mean, I've had to. I've been in trouble before. Paid consequences. He can pay consequences as well. He said he left his car running with the keys inside. He said, I thought I was dumb for leaving the keys in the car. He's extremely dumb for leaving his pay stub in the stolen car. So it's poor crime.
Yeah.
That's crime 101, man.
That is not well thought out.
No.
I had a weird thought, and maybe one of our lawyer friends can answer this for me. You know how they have that DNA thing where you can send in your DNA and find out what you are?
Ancestry or whatever?
Yeah. Could the authorities get that to put your DNA at the scene of a crime?
I mean, I guess they could, technically.
Let's say you were, I'm just fictioning here, but you're an assistant football coach somewhere, and, you know, one of your players does something he's not supposed to and commits an assault. What if that player's DNA was in this database, and the police suspected him and checked the DNA against it, even though he wasn't in the criminal database?
I guess they could take him down.
I'm just thinking this might be a pretty good Law & Order Special Victims episode. I've been, I've kind of been stumping to write one of those. Here we go. I think this would be a good one.
Here we go.
And this would be another reason not to find out that you're 7% Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
Hey, got those commercials. I thought I was German, and I had Lederhosen, and now it turns out I'm Scotch. So now I, geez, really? I mean, I guess, you know, some people want to know that stuff, but I'm not going to give up my DNA for that.
No.
And that's asking for trouble. But I'm just curious if a district attorney could use that information, match you to a crime, and then you wind up, you know, going to trial and going to jail because you wanted to find out that you were Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
That would be kind of cool.
Well, that'd be kind of cool for, you know.
I mean, it'd be a cool story.
Cops.
Yeah, it'd be a cool story.
It would suck if you were the Puerto Rican dude.
You'd feel really stupid about sending in your DNA.
Right.
So, I don't know. I'm just curious if that, I mean, is that a public record? Well,
I don't think so.
Okay.
But I'm sure you have to sign some sort of agreement with the.
Yeah, I don't know. It just occurred to me that, because it's not all that easy to get DNA.
Right.
But if you're right there and it's like, oh, yeah, we're going to call Ancestry.
I guess it's possible.
Yeah, this is Bob at Ancestry. Yes, this is the district attorney.
The government could just say, hey, we need these records.
Yeah.
Sorry.
They could subpoena them.
Yeah. I don't know that they could really put up much of a fight.
Yeah, I don't know much about the law than what I see on television, which I know is accurate. But, yeah.
You watch Law & Order.
Yes, I do.
So you know.
Yeah, I know what's on TV.
Right.
And I know it's ripped from the headlines.
But that's a real show.
Is it?
Of course. Yeah, they wouldn't make up stories for television.
They wouldn't?
No, it's got to be real.
Oh, okay. So Detective Tutuolo is a real person. He's not really a rapper.
Of course.
Interesting. You learn something new every day.
Yeah, you're welcome.
832 asks, what if he stole the check from someone and planted it?
I mean, I guess he could
that,
do that.
That would be smart.
But, either way, there's going to be more evidence.
Yeah.
I mean, there's more evidence now than there would have been had he left nothing behind, right?
Yeah.
Especially, and who steals a car and then just leaves it there?
Well, yeah, what was he, trying to see if there was something in it? You know what this sounds like? This sounds like,
well,
dude's drinking, he sees a car running and thinks, oh, this would be cool, I'm going to go take that guy's car.
When I was in high school, there was a guy who had a car lot, and sometimes when we would see him leave, like he lived out in the boonies.
Yeah.
Like, and when we would see him leave, we would go into his house and take the keys to one of the cars and then go drive the car around for a little while. But then we'd bring it back so we could do it again sometime.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, it doesn't make sense to take a car and then just leave it somewhere. Like, what do you get out of that? Like, at least we had a ride at least.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe it was a joyride thing. I don't know.
Maybe so. Maybe they were just trying to teach this guy a lesson. Hey, don't leave your car running, dummy.
All right, so I think I hear music, but I know it's time for us to go to break, so we'll do that. One more segment to go. It's gone by fast. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. He's a man of show.
Traded in his mind. Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz live here at Sam Houston Race Park. One more segment. 50 Cent beer is flowing, so you might want to jump in on that. And I got to tell you one last time, if you're not on SportsMap, you need to be. Follow it on Twitter, at SportsMapHOU. You'll get every story. It will pop up on your Twitter feed. And a texter asked, does SportsMap have an app? We do not, but it is an extremely mobile-friendly site. It's actually designed to be really good on mobile. And I think 85% of our traffic comes from mobile. So you can check it out on your mobile phone. It will look good. It'll be easy to read. It's a very cool site. And lots of good stuff on it. So, all right, let's wrap up the show the way we do. Every week, let's do stupid stuff.
Yeah. Stupid stuff we've said this week.
27-year-old Bradley Hardison is a donut-eating champion put on by the police department while he was wanted on suspicion of several break-ins. He's now gone back to breaking and entering and committing larceny in these donut shops. He has an unhealthy obsession with donuts that has now sent him to jail twice.
It's a jelly.
Oh, no. So it says, Barney was a Tyrannosaurus, Baby Bop was a Triceratops, BJ was a Protoceratops, and BJ is Baby Bop's older brother. Riff is a Hadrosaur, who is Baby Bop and BJ's cousin.
Now, is this the guy that voiced Barney, or the guy that was in the costume?
The guy in the costume.
They could have put anybody in that thing.
Yeah, but
yeah,
it
could have been you.
Did you
sing the song?
I love you. There you go.
That's pretty good.
Bo.
You guys, like, really irritate me with your Case Keenum stuff. Like, I think you could, like, win the Super Bowl, throw for 500 yards, and you guys would still hate on him. Like, Fred, you're a UH alum. I don't get why you hate him so much. But, I mean, okay, all that.
All right, cut this a-hole off.
Listen,
I'm sorry.
We don't hate the guy.
Nobody hates anybody. Yeah, that was just a troll call. I'm not even sure why we're responding to it. Let's try Luis.
Yo.
Yo. Hello.
Hey, sports, go.
Hey, sports, go.
Turn your radio down.
All right.
Can't deal with it. I don't want to take phone calls.
You ever been to a dive bar called Continental?
No.
They have banned people if you use the word literally.
Like they're literally banning
them? Yes, literally banning them.
Oh, damn it.
You literally. Literally? Literally. Literally.
Same thing. Yeah. Literally. When you say literally.
Literally.
Literally. I'm British.
Yeah.
Literally.
Well, see, that sounds at least presentable.
This is literally the worst burger I've ever tasted in my life.
I think that sounds pretty good, actually. Oh, this is literally the worst bar I've ever been in.
No, I don't like that.
That one doesn't work?
No, you're banned.
The cloning of primates was long thought to be fundamentally more difficult than horses, sheep, and other mammals, but it's
being done now.
It's a significant advance. We can do a monkey.
We can do a man.
In a news conference in China, one of the paper's authors, Mooming Poo.
Morning Poo?
Mooming Poo. You see, I knew this was coming. I'm surprised.
I feel it. Right. I feel it.
Yeah. Stupid stuff we said this week.
Oh, boy. Do-do-do-do.
Good being stupid with you this week, Fred.
Yeah. Yeah, good week. Not too shabby. So, got any good weekend plans or... This is your last sober weekend.
My last sober weekend. I'm going to train pretty much all day tomorrow. There's some guys getting ready for fights. I'm going to help them out. And then I think I'm going to try my best to binge watch Dark on Netflix this weekend.
Okay.
And on Sunday night, I'm doing TV with Jerome. So he heard me last week. Make a public plea for no one to ask me to do television. I said, please, no one ask me to do television anymore. Because then I have to like get dressed in real clothes on a weekend and then drive into the city.
Yeah.
And Jerome, before the week was out, texted me and said, hey, can you do TV on Sunday? So I'm doing that.
That'll be interesting.
I'll try to look good for you, Fred.
I probably won't be.
You're not going to watch?
No.
I'd watch if you were on TV.
I'm on TV all the time. You never watch. I'm on at 6 in the morning. Well, I'm always like at 6 in the morning.
No,
you're not up.
Well, I'm not up then.
Well, I'm usually passed out by the time Jerome's show is on.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
a Sunday night.
We have opposite schedules.
Oh, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, fine.
But
I need somebody to make fun of me if I look bad.
Jerome will do that.
Okay.
So, all right, well. John, you got anything fun this weekend?
No, I don't think so. Keeping it chill.
Wow. You better get some fun stuff in. When's your bachelor party?
The week after the Super Bowl.
Are you going, Fred?
I can't.
Oh,
yeah. I want to, but
I wanted to too. It sounded like a good trip. My wife kiboshed it. She already had plans without me.
Yeah, well, mine's going to be out of town again, and I've got to watch the animals and everything else. So
just let those cats die.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying. All right, that's going to wrap it up from Sam Houston Race Park. First race coming up in a few minutes. Want to thank Voldemort for keeping us on air out here.
Yeah, he did a good job.
He did. Want to thank John Lee, who always does a good job. AJ Hoffman, who always does a good job.
Always does a good
job. RJ Bell, who most of the time does a good job.
Sometimes.
And Jim Byers, want to thank him for coming on as well. I did okay this week. I'm going to give myself a pretty solid C-.
You've had way worse weeks, I can tell you that.
I have. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Hope everybody has an awesome, awesome weekend. And until Monday, stay sportsy, bitches.